Welcome to The Rot Focus, a podcast for rotters, newbies, and veterans, and everyone in between. We're hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Rooms, all from Rotters, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Each episode lasts as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, grab a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Resources and links are in the show notes. Visit us at therotfocus.blogspot.com. Now, on to this week's episode. In our last segment, The Rot Focus shared everything we personally had to say about writer's block and how to defeat that three-headed monster. When we researched the topic, we find articles that claim 5 types of writer's block and how to overcome it. 10 types? Shudder. I don't want to even contemplate 10 types. Yet I read the article, so you don't have to. Guess what? Those 10 types are actually just an expansion of the 3 types we covered in our series, as were the solutions, and as were the 5 types and their solutions. What we listed as breaks and escapes, switching projects, overcoming fears, pursuing a healthy lifestyle, regaining curiosity, and practicing creativity, all those were solutions. We can do this. We can defeat writer's block. In this segment, we'll explore advice from other writers, pro writers who have to meet a deadline and are too professional to churn out boring words. Let's explore what they say. Neil Gaiman, first, is an English author of short fiction, novels, comic books, graphic novels, audio theater, and screenplay. Best known of his works are the comic book series The Sandman, the novels Good Omens, Stardust, Coraline, and The Graveyard Book, which I think is his best, most creative. He's won numerous awards, including the Hugo, Nebula, and Bram Stoker Awards, and Book of the Year from the British National Book Awards. Here's Gaiman's comment on writer's block. Suggestions? Put it aside for a few days or longer. Do other things. Try not to think about it. Then sit down and read it. Printouts are best, I find, but that's just me. As if you've never seen it before. Start at the beginning. Scribble on the manuscript as you go if you see anything you want to change. And often, when you get to the end, you'll be both enthusiastic about it and know what the next few words are. And you do it all at one word at a time. Gaiman has 3 important points here. First, he suggests we set the project aside. We're taking a break or an escape and letting the project sleep. Second, we need to look at this project with new eyes provided by that project sleep. We can become so caught up in the minutiae of our daily writing that the overall story arc and character development and setting situation become lost to us. We need to look at this project, as Gaiman says, as if we've never seen it before. Third, and I find this crucial, Gaiman says these 2 things, a project sleep and new eyes, can restore enthusiasm about the project. We've reawakened our curiosity and excitement about the story or project, and that's tied to all 3 types of writer's block, refusal and procrastination and inertia. Losing that enthusiasm can turn us into drudges, and the story becomes drudgery. The words lose their tasty flavor. Our second author is Ernest Hemingway, known for his award-winning novels, short stories, and reporting. His economical and understated style is what he's best known for. Hemingway produced most of his work between the mid-1920s and the mid-1950s. 7 novels, 6 short story collections, and 2 nonfiction works. 3 of his novels, 4 short story collections, and 3 more nonfiction works were published after his death. His primary theme came from his experiences in the Great War. He's best known as a member and chief spokesman for the Lost Generation. those who were wounded and damaged during the Great War, World War I, and then tried to cope during the Roaring Twenties and the Great Depression. While others prefer his novels directly related to his war experiences, I prefer his leanest and most symbolic works that serve as an exemplar of that modern literature theme of futility, man's search for meaning in a meaningless world. That work is the novella-length The Old Man and the Sea. Hemingway created his writing persona, such as standing at his writing desk, and how much of that I do not know if we can trust. He knew how to create an image. Whatever the truth is, this statement by him contains wonderful advice on defeating writer's block before it happens. The casual eye would assume that it contradicts Neil Gaiman. Au contraire. Examine it closer, my writing friends. Hemingway said, quote, "The best way is always to stop when you are going good and when you know what will happen next. If you do that every day, you will never be stuck. Always stop while you're going good and don't think about it or worry about it until you start to write the next day. That way your subconscious will work on it all the time. But if you think about it consciously or worry about it, you will kill it and your brain will be tired before you start." By not thinking about the writing and by not worrying about it, we're avoiding stress. The story remains fresh. The ideas remain surprising. Now, I also find it helpful to end today's session with a brief, very brief jot list of the ideas swirling around that all came to me while I was writing. Never more than 7. I don't want to forget them, and that has happened in the past. But it's a jot list, phrases, not sentences, boiled down to the sparest words, a tiny column on 3x3 sticky note. When I start the next session, I only look at the jot list if the words don't immediately appear, and I may not use half the list, or the items may carry over to later scenes. That jot list prevents the stress of the blank page, the fear and the lethargy that can bring us to thinking we're blocked. Our third author is a British writer that I'd never heard of, Dame Hilary Mantel, a British writer whose work includes historical fiction, personal memoirs, and short stories. Mantel won the Booker Prize twice for 2 books in the same series about Thomas Cromwell. Her advice is, if you get stuck, get away from your desk. Take a walk, take a bath, go to sleep, make a pie, draw, listen to music, meditate, exercise, whatever you do. Don't just stick there scowling at the problem, but don't make telephone calls or go to a party. If you do, other people's words will pour in where your lost words should be. Open a gap for them. Create a space. Be patient. Again, this advice follows the Right Focus's advice about breakaways and escape. Mantel's warning about avoiding other people's words is key. She said no telephone calls or get-togethers. I would add to avoid entertainment, TV and films, as well as social media. Doom scrolling on social media is fatal. Fourth is Norman Mailer, American novelist, journalist, playwright, and filmmaker. Over the years, he says, I've found one rule. It is the only one I give on those occasions when I talk about writing. A simple rule. If you tell yourself you're going to be at your desk tomorrow, you are, by that declaration, asking your unconscious to prepare the material. You are, in effect, contracting to pick up such valuables at a given time. Count on me, you are saying to a few forces below. I will be there to write. By that, he's awakening his unconscious mind to start percolating ideas. And he's fulfilling the contract with his unconscious mind by showing up at his desk when he said he would be. And the subconscious mind will then produce. This idea of a daily discipline, driven by a contractual statement, is enough to avoid writer's block. Fifth, and finally for this segment, is the famous Samuel Langhorne Clemens, known by the pen name Mark Twain, American writer, humorist, essayist, entrepreneur, publisher, and lecturer. He's been praised as the greatest humorist the United States has produced, and William Faulkner called him the father of American literature. We know him best as the writer of the great American novel, Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. He says, "The secret of getting ahead is getting started. The secret of getting started is breaking your complex, overwhelming task into small, manageable tasks, and then starting on the first one. And that is the key to any project, whether small in our eyes or an epic of 200,000 words. Break the project into manageable parts, all the way down to how much we can manage on a day filled with disruptions and distractions. Make the complex manageable and handle it one part at a time." Twain also says getting started is the key. When we stop avoiding and launch, our projects aren't the monsters we had imagined. We started with advice from Neil Gaiman, and we shall end this segment with a recent clip from a question-answer session. The question posed is, when writing a novel, how similar is the first draft to the last draft? And Gaiman's answer, what a good question. How similar is the first draft to the last draft? Let me insert here that Gaiman is great at these question-answer sessions. He praises the question and repeats it for those who may not have heard it. Then he says, they tend to be very similar except for all the important things. Writing a novel, for me, tends to be almost like the process of throwing mud at a wall and seeing what shapes it makes and then going, you know, that really looks like a face over there, and throwing some more mud. And the second draft is the process of going in and making it look like you knew what you were doing the whole time. I tend, when I originally started writing, I would write my novels on the computer, and I never really felt I had any difference between drafts. I just had a first draft that got better and often got bigger. So part of the fun for me now is I go out when I start a new novel and I buy some fountain pens, and I buy some big old notebooks. I write novels by hand. And this means two important things. One, nobody can send me email while I'm writing or pop-up messages. And I cannot suddenly decide to look up a word while I'm writing and find myself 4 hours later in the middle of some eBay auction that Google search led me to. If I'm sitting there, you know, it's me and a notebook. I'm just going to have to go and look it up in a dictionary. And there's the fact that once I've finished it, I get to sit down and start typing, and I know the shape of the thing, and I know how it ended, and I can decide what to throw out, and I can look at it. And then that draft is what goes to my editor. In the case of Anansi Boys, I wrote maybe an additional 4 scenes after it came back from my editor. Mostly because there were characters she really liked and didn't feel got enough, for want of a better word, screen time. So I wrote some more scenes about them. Maeve Livingston got 3 extra scenes because my editor liked her. Gaiman pretty much encapsulates everything that we talked about today, especially some of the clues about writing fast and breaking any opportunity for a block before it ever starts by writing by hand, which I think is crucial. I can fly when I'm writing by hand. The words just flow out of me so rapidly. There's something about the formation of the words in my brain, which is coming through my hand, that I don't get when I've got fingers on a keyboard. I write by longhand first, and then it converts to the computer. And that's pretty much it. I'll go back and read and revise a few items, but there's the story set. With advice like this, we can do it. We can defeat writer's block. Our next segment continues looking at pro writers' advice to defeat writer's block. Until then, keep writing. The Right Focus turns its lens on every writer's secret monster, writer's block. We say the mantra writer's block doesn't exist, but something more than simple disruptions and distractions can interfere with our writing, creating insurmountable walls. The Right Focus, in the series Defeat Writer's Block, analyzes the three most common types of writer's block and offers solutions to overcome and defeat this monster looming over the writer's desk. The best solution, though, is Leo Tolstoy's mantra, no days without lines, nulla dies sine linea. Make that your own mantra. Information for this series comes from host M.A. Lee's guidebook, Think Like a Pro, a new advent for writers, showcasing 7 lessons to change your perspective from hobby writer to pro writer. See the show notes for links. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee from Writers Inc. Books, assisted by Remy Black and Edie Runes. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Music is licensed through Audio Jungle, called Background Music Loop. Its creator is Alexander Polishchuk, known on Audio Jungle as Plastic 3. The music comes in different iterations. Show notes and resource links for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at linkbooks@aol.com when you have questions, comments, and speculations. We will try to answer you as quickly as possible. By the way, we will not mind your email address. That's rude. If you find value in our content, share with your writing friends or write a review. We're small beans here without the advertising budget of the big peeps, and you can make a difference. And whatever occurs, right on.